This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Gutch Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutchchurch.com.
Hey, isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord today, huh? You know, at 9 o'clock, it hit me. Wait a minute, we're not going to hell. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Huh? Hey, say this with me. God, I thank you. For this house, your house, it's better to be here than anywhere. In Jesus' name, my life will never be the same. God, I thank you that you've appointed me for great purpose. I fulfill that purpose no matter what, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand, will you? Hey, let's welcome everybody that's watching in SkyTook, all over the world on the internet, and all our guests in here today. Let's welcome them now. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Man, we're so glad you're here. I'm Bill Shear. I have the privilege of pastoring this church. What a great group of people. I'll tell you, this church has changed my life. It really has. It's given me purpose and direction and clarity. And I'll tell you what I love about this church is the premium we set on God's Word. And that's the key, because, man, trends, other things, they come and go, but we set a premium on what God's Word says. And you know, what we have to understand is God does too. The Bible says that God takes counsel in His Word. You know, there's things God can't do. You know, you'll run into people, they'll say, and they're well-meaning, I think. They'll say, well, God can do anything He wants to do. No, He can't. God can't lie. God can't change, and God can't do anything that's outside the realm or opposite of what His Word says, and that's what He's promised us. See, God wants to be a very predictable God for us. God wants our lives for us to be able to know what He's about, know what direction that He would have us go. Man, that we know Him. Now listen, and the power of His resurrection. See, it's interesting because I'm on this. I don't know if it's my age or my length of service or whatever it is, but I'm on this big perspective and perception kick. Because I tell you, the perspective that we take on life is the kind of life that we're going to live, the kind of life we're going to have. You know, and it's interesting because, man, if we try to do it psychologically, we always try to tip toward my cup's half full rather than half empty. You know, between yesterday and today, maybe very little's changed, but man, you may be in a better mood today because you see your cup half full rather than half empty. And you know, that's not the life of God in Christ. You know, the perspective that we take, you know, it's interesting because my kids stay little. The perspective that I take is that I can still run and jump like I used to be able to. The perspective that I take is that, you know, it's interesting to me because I see it's cool to pastor a church where people, couples have babies, a baby. But then when they have multiple babies, it just starts getting confusing. It's like one of those little Trevino kids will run up to me and I'll go, okay, now which one are you? Because they're just like in this tribe of people that come and take over, and this is a very fertile church. Like, man, there's people. Man, if you're having a hard time having a kid and that's your heart's desire, I would just hang out at church because it's pretty amazing. We have to continually be building bigger and better nurseries and apportioning what we do toward that. But in my heart, it's funny because they stay little. It's funny how that happens. And, you know, even Taylor, my son now, he'll say, Dad, I'm 27. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not gonna switch lanes all of a sudden because you decide you think you're gonna grow up. I mean, but our perspective is huge because we think that the world, it's interesting because I think it's in 2 Corinthians, the Bible talks about that the God of this age has blinded them from the truth. You know, we look at Acts the 9th chapter and Saul he had the road to Damascus experience. We've all heard about that. And this road to Damascus experience is where he was confronted with look, you're going to live for God. You know, like people, and I believe God's a gentleman, but man, sometimes he takes matters in his own hands like he did with Saul of Tarsus, like he did in my life. You know, it's interesting because I didn't have, it's funny, I can really relate to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus because I didn't have an option. It wasn't like God was like, okay, I want you to pick me because, no, it's like, okay, I pick you. I'm in, okay, enough. And that's how it was for Saul of Tarsus. That may be how it is for some of you guys that are in here today. Man, we have guests come through here all the time that just need to get their life right with God, not by choice, just because they have to. I have to. And here's what's amazing about this is that the very next thing that Saul of Tarsus was a part of his assignment was to go and hook up with Ananias. And Ananias then prayed for him. And here's what happened when Ananias prayed for him. When Ananias prayed for him, the Bible says it was as if scales came off of Saul's eyes. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the devil's deception works in people's lives who don't see clearly. In people's lives who the deception can work because their perception is dim. Their perception is foggy. It's out of focus. And see, we look at that, we can't be those people anymore. We've got to be people that there's a servant. Came to Elisha, and at that time the enemy king had sent his whole army, chariots and horses, and a mighty army to surround them at night. Man, I'll tell you, the devil ripping you off at night is man. He that's like low hanging fruit for him. Man, that's easy. We're easy pickings at night. That's why we've got to store the word in our hearts. We have to store the word in our lives. You know, we're real big on starting the day with God's word. I'm real big on ending the day with God's word. Man, otherwise, man, the trials we go through, the laps we have to run in life, the fires we put out, the rats we have to kill, all this stuff, man, we try to lay our head down and have the rest that the word promises us, but all these details are flying around. No, you know what? Man, we get a steady aim in life when we bring God's word into the mix. But here, the servant comes to Elisha and says, oh my gosh, we're surrounded. We are outnumbered. What are we going to do? Man, it was certain death. And Elisha prayed. Elisha didn't respond to the servant immediately. He prayed. And he said, God, open his eyes that he might see. The servant lifted up his eyes and looked around, and he goes, oh, my goodness, there's more with us than there are with them. Around all of the enemy's troops and horses and chariots, the huge army, were angelic hosts all about him. He's like, there's more with us than there are with them. Whatever it is, the diagnosis that you might have got with disease or lack of health or how your immediate future looks financially or what your marriage is like, I'm telling you, there's more with us than there are with them. I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to proclaim to you today and let you know that, man, the God that we serve, the provision that he gives us far exceeds what we have need of, what we're dealing with. See, and we think that it's all fair. We still buy into God not giving us more than we can handle. Yet, guess what? That's all this life is more than we naturally can handle. That's why the nature of God that's on the inside of us, I hope you're here to hear this today. The nature of God that's on the inside of us makes our life supernatural now. Okay, let's just break that down a minute. Supernatural. Supernatural. It's not natural with a little bit of super added to it. It's supernatural. The operative word being super, it's supernatural. That's how we're able to say it. Our life now. What's our life about? Supernatural nature of God. So now these scales that we have, we think, well, it's got to be even Stephen. You got to take the good with the bad. Here's how the scales are. You put God's provision on his side, it tips his favor all the time. And that's to our advantage. And see, that's what we have to understand. We have to understand that we are walking around with a distinct advantage no matter what. What does this mean to you? Whatever I put my hand to prospers. Because that's a promise God's given me in his word. What does that mean to you? Man, I'm going to put my hand to that. The Bible says no weapon formed against you ever can take over. Man, you know what? That what we have to understand is that the enemy's gonna draw the weapon, but it won't come near us. That's what God's word promises us. But you know what we have to have? We have to have that perspective on things. We have to have that outlook on things. We have to see things clearly. So many people, you come in, it's like, I'm gonna try church, I'm gonna get involved, I'm gonna work in the parking lot, I'm gonna work on Fridays in the distribution center, I'm gonna go on outreaches, I wanna do mission trips, and I wanna train for ministry, and man, someday I wanna pastor a church. No, hold it. Let's just start here. Let's have the scales come off. Man, let's see clearly. So it's not, you know, I think God's doing this, or I think God, no, it's like, I know the purpose. You know, it's interesting because the whole idea, Abram, God says, look around. This is in the book of Genesis. He said, look around. Look southward, northward, eastward, and westward. Everywhere that you can see, I'm giving you that. But you know how God introduced himself to Abram? I am God Almighty. See, God always introduced himself as I am. And you know how he introduced himself to Abram, the father of our faith? He introduced himself as Abram as, I am God Almighty. I love that kind of God. I'm telling you, he is throwing down, he's saying, hey, listen, I'm it. I'm the only God. I am the only higher power there is out there. And see, we have to look at it that this is personal with us now. You know, I could say, well, you know, I believe God spoke to me and told me to start a church. I believe God spoke to me and told me to marry Sandy. I believe God spoke to me and told me to live in Tulsa. And I'm going to be having brunch with Abraham at some point. And he and I are going to be sitting there and I'm going to say, tell me that story when God spoke to you. He's going to say, oh my gosh, this voice, I'll never forget it. I am God Almighty. It's like game over. I just won. I'm a friend with God Almighty. Now, with me, he's come inside of me. He's taken up residency in me. In him, I live and move and have my being. In me, he lives and moves and has his being. See, the duality of this is powerful. But see, we've got to understand that the enemy's trying to deceive us into our perception not being contrary to God's promise. And see, and here's what's difficult about this. What's difficult about this is the power is in the speaking of it. That's where it is. You know, that's why our life is full. The Bible says, don't worry saying. I mean, you see a bad situation, you start communicating that bad situation, you know what you're doing? You're feeding the enemies. Man, you begin to say, man, it just looks bad. I don't think this is gonna work out. I don't know how this is going to work out. Oh my gosh, you know, whatever God wants to do, he's going to do. No, the way he does anything is the way he does everything. What does God do in this situation and on this track? What is it, God? God isn't a hit and miss God. He's not a yes and no God. Do you understand that? He's introduced himself to people in the Word and said, I'm not a yes and no God, I'm a yes God. That's yes to his promise. That's yes to his provision. See, and again, that scale's got hit because he's a just God. Right? Justice and truth. So here's what he does. He takes the scales of justice and he puts his truth on our side and bam, we win. And see, that's what we've got to understand no matter what it is that you're facing. What is your perspective on that? What is the perception that you have of that? Good and not evil to give you a future and a hope. I would write that down if I were you. My perspective, the perception that I have toward my marriage, with my children, with my vocation, with my finances, with my giving, with my provision is good and not evil to give me a future and a hope. It's like that well that was dug by one of our teams back in June down in Loganoff, Haiti. They had never had fresh drinking water. 80% of the children the previous summer died of dysentery. 80% of the children. They go in and they bring that rig in there, that well drinking rig in there. They back that thing up. They stick that bit in the ground. That bit starts turning. 8 feet later, Fresh artesian drinking water starts coming. The best water in the world comes out of that hole. These people let their kids die for years when the answer was 8 feet below them. Not 800, not 80, not 8,000, 8 feet. But let me just tell you, everything changed in there when that water got hit. I'm telling you what God's word's going to do in your life, it's going to bore. It's going to get through whatever the enemy means for bad. Whatever kind of rock solid, there is nothing about the enemy that's rock solid. Please hear me today. I'm telling you, the only rock solid thing there is in the universe is God's provision and God's promise. And let me help you. When his favor comes upon your life, it's funny because yesterday morning it started pouring. It was just supposed to be a little spittle coming out of the sky. And next thing you know, you look at the radar and it went from a dot to this, oh my, this massive storm. It's just pouring down rain. I'm sitting in the clubhouse. I was going to go play golf. The girls were down in Dallas and on their annual back to school shopping trip that they kind of invited me. I missed it, the invitation, but they said they invited me. The Kennedy, you know, she's my soft-hearted one. The other one, they'll just slit your throat. But Kennedy, she's my little softy. She said, Daddy, I wanted you to go. I'm like, when did you want me to go? Daddy, you could have gone. No, how could I have gone? You left under the cloak of darkness. You slipped out. I didn't know where you went. All my people are gone. And I got these two little dogs. I'm looking at them like, what? So I'm at the golf course. That's where you go. It's pouring. So I'm sitting there, and of course, they're all eating French toast and scrambled eggs with a bunch of cheese and salsa. Oh no, I'm a healthy Bill now. I've got 40 days of eating healthy, and I'm hating people. It's not a fast, but it's as slow as a fast as anything I've ever experienced. And but doggone it, it's a new day, kale. You ever eat any kale? Everything just tastes like kale after you eat it. It's like, that food thing's broken in my life. But anyway, I'm sitting there, and these kids, I say kid, they're probably 30, 32 years old. These guys are asking me, they say, I remember when I was in high school, I went to the Nightmare. And, you know, there's probably 75 guys in this little men's dining room at the golf course. And we're sitting at this table right in the middle, and they start asking me about the Nightmare, and they start asking me about the church. They start asking me about doctrine. And this one guy turns and goes, you know that Joel Osteen? I said, Joel Osteen? Yeah, Joel Osteen. I said, yeah, I know Joel Osteen. He said, yeah, you know Joel Osteen. I said, yeah, I got it. he said, he's talking about that. Man, that stuff works out. I said, here, let's just make it simple. You want to just make it simple? Because I think for you to get it, we got to make this really simple. He said, I know it. You know you got him. I said, it's God's favor. See, what happens is, what I want my kids, I want my kids in my home are favored. Okay, any guys ever played Little League sports and a dad is coaching and his son plays? He's the point guard, he's the quarterback, he's the shortstop, he's there. You know why? Because the coach is married to the kid's mama. There's nepotism involved in it, and it's just real, and we just have to deal with it. But let me explain to you about this favor, the favor of God. He's our dad. So there's nepotism that comes involved in this. When his favor's upon our life, it's a game changer. Then any door God opens, no man can close. It's not up to anybody now when you get on track with God because his favor comes into play. Now the perspective changes. But listen, you can't even hear this if there's scales on your eyes. You can't even hear this if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, just like Saul of Tarsus was with Ananias. Man, you look, Saul went immediately from there, and he preached in their churches, and they're all freaking out saying, he's the guy who killed, he's the persecutor. He was the one that gave the thumbs up on killing Stone and Stephen. They were freaking out about him being in their churches. We're going to die. The enemy has infiltrated our ranks. But you know what? He wasn't Saul anymore. He's Paul. How did he become Paul? He could see. He wasn't who he used to be. He could see now. He sees clearly now. See, we've got to understand, we've got to look at our lives, and we've got to understand when God's favor's upon our lives. I told this guy, I said, do you like to win? He said, yeah. I said, really, do you favor winning over losing? He said, yes. I said, because God's in you. That's how God made us. I remember I'm a little kid, maybe my first year of baseball. I was probably 6 or 7 years old. We got shellacked, you know. There were it wasn't as soft and cut. They kept score back then. You know, now they don't keep score. No, they kept score. They were running out of numbers on the scoreboard. I'm wanting to cut it down. I was an angry child, probably. Coach gets us huddled up. We're all taking a knee. You just want to go home. We just got run ruled, mercy ruled. Coach said, now listen, this game's going to benefit us. Yeah. You can learn something from losing, boys. You know, he gave you that wah, 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 wah. And I remember thinking, like it was yesterday, and I was a little kid, yeah, I know what I learned about losing. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I didn't hear a word, the rest, what else he said. But you know why? Because the word says this, but thanks be to God, everything we put our hand to prospers. That means we win. The Bible says, but thanks be to God who always causes a triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. Now see, we look at this and I'm talking to these guys and I got them now. And the next thing you know, all the other conversations in the room stopped. I pointed right at him. And you know, you point at somebody with a group of men, it's go time. I pointed at this guy, I said, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? He said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I said, guess what? Losing's off the table. Losing's out of the equation. Now you have two options. You win or you quit. He goes, oh my gosh, that's good. Another guy goes, man, that's powerful. See, because God's favor, here's how it works, that we are earthen vessels. I am a clay pot. I have chips and cracks and cuts and miscuts and filled everything on the outside. And you know what God's done? God on the inside has cleansed me. You know why? Because I carry now a treasure. This treasure in this earthen vessel. Man, you look at me, I'm just dirt. I'm just dirt and water. That's what I'm made up of. But you know what? There's a prize on the inside of me. Paul went so far as to say, it's not I who speak, but Christ who speaks in me. Man, the glory of God's on the inside of us now because it's Christ in us, and that's his glory. Now our perspective has to change. What if I'm right? What if losing is off the table? What if losing's out of the equation? What if you really had good and not evil? What if you really had a future and a hope? What if, no matter what the diagnosis is now, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath. See, when the scales come off our eyes, and you know what, you can't live with that lame, wispy, wimpy little, well, you know, I try to read the Bible and I don't get it. No, you know what? You have to get it. It's life to those who find it. It's health to all their flesh. Do you know so much so that healing is God's food, is food from God to his children? Man, he's a good dad. He's going to feed us. But see, we've got to change our perspective. We can't let the enemy, because you know what T.D. Jakes says? Elvis reminded me of this after the 9 o'clock service. TD says, favor's not fair. Because you know what? People can look at us. You look at me. You can look at me and you can, hey, I'm telling you, I am a bullseye for haters. You know why? I don't deserve what I get. And you know why? It's God's favor. It's God's hand. You know, Moses, God said, look, you go tell that Pharaoh. Moses is like, yeah, right. You go tell the Pharaoh, most powerful, richest, strongest man on the planet. He said, you go tell that Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, uh-uh. He said, okay, Moses, let me make this clear. You go tell that Pharaoh to let my people go. He goes, Why would he listen to me? God said, I am. Moses said, pick somebody else. What about Aaron? I don't talk very good. How about him? He goes, Moses, you get your butt into that Pharaoh's office and you tell him it's exactly what God said. You tell him, any parents in here? You feeling me? You get in there and you tell that Pharaoh to let my people go. He's gonna say no. What does Pharaoh say? You're out your mind. He goes back and said, see, I told you. You go tell him again. This is ridiculous. God, you're crazy. But you know what? He finally did it. You know what came behind? What came behind Moses' obedience to just speak the word to Pharaoh was God's provision. The power in his word. Man, God could have just, I'm telling you, God could have just went like this and Egypt would have been wiped off the map. But he didn't. You know what he did? He used a man. That man had to activate his vocal cords. That man had to stand up to the most powerful man on the earth and say, let my people go now. This is gonna end badly for you. You let them go. And you know what? The children of Israel prevailed. In your life right now, what are you telling God no to that he's given you provision for? See, favor isn't fair. Pharaoh had to go, that's not fair. That's not fair. These Israelites have got nothing and we've built all this cool stuff with these people. That's not fair. Favor's not fair. You want to be on the favor side of it. See, and that's what we have to understand. That's who we are now. We are conduits of God's love, of God's provision, of God's health, of God's joy, of God's peace. And you know what? It just requires us activating our vocal cords. And you know what? So much so that Jesus said, look, if something starts to dominate your life, if something is hovering over you like a mountain, you have to speak to that mountain. You don't have to, listen, we're not here to study mountains. We're not here to try to scale mountains. We're not here to go around the mountains. We have to speak to that mountain. And you know what Jesus said? Be removed and be cast into the sea and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. Listen, we live our lives with this perception. There's so many things that I worry about or I'm concerned about and I'm thinking about. And when I begin to pray about it, I'm like, it's not that big a deal. When I begin to pray about it, when I begin to speak to the mountain, when I begin to proclaim God's promise, wait a second, this is doable. But see, we look at it because we're not doing this naturally. This is not natural for us. Man, you look up here and you say, Shear, how do you do what you do? I'm telling you, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the only chance that I have. You know why? God takes my weakness, my deficits, my vacuums. And you know what he does? He brings his strength into the mix. Now, when I'm strong in something, man, I hear all kinds of preachers all cocky get up and say, hey, if you don't believe what I'm preaching, there's a door marked EXIT for you. When a preacher says that, take the door. Because I'm here to tell you that's just arrogance and pride. And let me tell you, the Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Man, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Man, guess what happens? I get to look southward. I get to look northward. I get to look eastward. I get to look westward. And you know what? Everywhere I can see, I have. Can you see it? You can't see if there's scales on your eyes. Man, I'll turn around and look south. I can't see. I look north. I can't see. Those scales have to come off, and then I can see. Because let me tell you where we are, fellas. We're in breakthrough right now. I'm not here fishing. I'm not here casting my reel, hoping that we get the breakthrough. I'm telling you, we are in it. Man, I'm telling you right now, within 6 feet of where you're sitting, there is somebody that God has miraculously dumped loads of provision in their lives. And you know what? God sat you 6 feet from them. But I'm telling you, you don't receive it unless you can see it. Once you see it, you can speak it. Once you speak it, you have it. And that's how this works. Man, I don't see it. I don't get it. I read the word and I don't get it. Quit saying that stuff. I'm telling you, it is simple enough for the smallest child to understand. Losing is off the table. I am absolutely sure of it. We win. We prevail. You know why? Our daddy, our papa, is God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus said in John 4, he said, look, you know what they'll say? You've heard it said, hey, in 4 months, then comes the harvest. And then he said this, but, you listen to everything after the but I say to you, lift up your head, open your eyes, look at the fields. They're already white for harvest. Your harvest is here. Your breakthrough's here. We're not hoping and wishing and conjuring. I'm telling you, it's here. And to receive it, you have to receive the spirit of faith that's come on that word. Your breakthrough is here, is a word of the Lord for you right now. You receive it by faith. That word, when God gives you a word, there's a spirit of faith that comes with that word. I'm telling you, we could sit down, Sandy and I had to write a book. Everything that we did, started the church with 6 people. Man, saw crowds of people. Man, we saw the pie that God was giving us was everyone who wasn't attracted to church. And it was over 20 years ago. And we went after everyone. And you know what? There wasn't anything anybody could say that would stop that or deter that. You know why? There was a spirit of faith that went with that church designed to reach the unchurched. There was a spirit of faith designed. Listen, man, you want to get out of debt? I'm telling you, your breakthrough's here. There's a spirit of faith that goes with that. And I'm just telling you, that spirit of faith will cause you to rise up and speak to that mountain, be removed, to be cast in. And we don't play with authorities that try to hover over us. Evil, unrighteous, unholy authorities have to go from our lives in Jesus' name. Anybody with me on that? We've got to be this people because our breakthrough's here because the world has to have a strong church. It's time for us to rise up and be who God's called us to be and not try to take care of it through the legislature and not be political about it, but be all Jesus about it and stop playing. We've got to be those people. But you know what? If there's known sin in your life, you got to stop. You go, well, I can't. No, you got to man up. See, you know what we like to do? Our culture, the Western culture, has brought adolescents and teenagers into the mix. Do you understand the word doesn't have that? Do you understand that? The word has boys and men. The word has children and adults. When I was a child, I acted as a child. I spoke as a child. I whined and complained, and I was limited as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The only limits in my life are limits I allow. So guess what? I'm not having it. I speak to the debt that's in my life. Be removed and be cast into the sea. You're not my partner anymore. I am dissolving this unholy union. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and I don't receive any doubt in my heart. God, I proclaim my home, my cars, my credit cards are paid in Jesus' name because, God, you promised me all my needs met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you'll say, Sheer, you're saying that? I say, yeah. But you know what? Man, don't look at me. I'm not who I look like. It's not what you look like. Listen. It's who you sound like. You whine, you moan, you complain. You sound like a kid. You rise up, you proclaim the promise, you proclaim the word, you sound like God. Remember Jesus, 12 years old, went in the synagogue, started reading from the scrolls. Remember that? They were like, oh, who is that? He doesn't sound like us. He speaks, listen, he speaks with authority. This isn't about respect. It's not about folk liking you. It's not popularity. It's about authority. Do you understand when they accused Jesus and they indicted him that he had the authority that he could have said, I am not playing your game, I'm walking, and he could have. They had nothing to hold him on. But you know what? He said, that's what you say that I am, and he stood his ground. Could have griped, could have complained. When he's dragging that cross up that hill by people who had never been able to see before that watched him carry that cross, he didn't gripe or complain. He got on that cross. He's hanging there. Sky went black. He said, my God, this is what it's like. God, you've turned your face from me. God, I'm going to take it. God, forgive him. God, unto you I commend my spirit. And guess what? God's face turned from him to you. I'm telling you, you could be the rankest, foulest sinner in this room, and there is a tangible presence of God right now. What is it that you have need of? Your breakthrough is here.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Gutch Church podcast. For more information on our service times, please visit gutchchurch.com.